Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Surprise Jab Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Ruger, surprising you with new topics every week and jabbing you with your daily dose of UFC. But we don't have any UFC on the tablet for today, as we have a conspiracy-filled episode of tons of surprises. And we are joined by my good friend and fellow conspiracy theorist. You know, I don't even know what to really call a conspiracy theorist. I'd say a knowledge seeker, Ryan Neihart. Ryan, welcome back on the podcast.
Yes, thank you for having me. I'm very excited for this episode and to share my knowledge with the masses here. And hopefully we make people wake up a little bit more, or not even wake up, but realize kind of what's going on and realize how messed up things are going and can be.
I'm completely with you, because a lot of the information that we've found just from, I mean, social media, our own personal research, it's just wildly apparent that there's a lot more to the world than people realize, a lot more than sporting events and whatever's on the news. The world's a very mysterious place.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, we only know what we're told, and we're taught by the schooling system, which is infiltrated by the U.S. government and many other things, but that's a different subject. So yeah, I'm very excited for this.
Same. I'm ready to dive into things. But Ryan, let me just give everyone a bit of a background on you. Why don't you just tell people a bit about yourself? Because we had you on when we did our NHL season preview a couple months ago, but now we're here to talk about some other things. So
yeah. So I have always been open to, I guess you could call it, alternative resources and alternative knowledge that we're not taught in school or we're not informed about in media, mass media, and all of the stuff that comes with that. So I'm just always have been really
interested.
Yeah, I've always just been really interested in learning new things that it is not common. That's not common. So, yeah.
I very much like that. But where are you from? I was more going to ask. Where are you from?
So East Bethel, Minnesota. Went to high school in Forest Lake with my fellow Zach Ruger here. Graduated class of 2021. I'm going to school here in Mankato for sports management. And yeah, I have a huge, huge passion for sports and huge passion for learning. Learning things that aren't necessarily taught in school and expanding my knowledge of the universe.
Very much so. Can you remember the first conspiracy theory that you just kind of made you aware that, like, not everything we're told is what it may seem?
Yeah, my first conspiracy theory, I think I was in middle school, maybe like 13, 14. It was the JFK assassination. That was one that really I kind of did a little bit of background research about that, and I started putting things together, and I was like, wait, this doesn't really add up from what they're telling us. And then that kind of sparked my interest in diving deep into subjects that are questionable.
Mm-hmm. Man, I'll tell you, we do need to do, we're not going to be talking about JFK as much, or maybe not all, on today's episode, but that entire whole scenario with that is also another big one, which I think woke a lot of people up.
I just want to note that yesterday, the last rally that Trump had before his inauguration today, he said he's going to release all the JFK assassination files along with MLK assassination files. So I'm very excited to see where that takes us.
I'm hoping they do that, because I swore, you know, 2016, 2020, he was trying to release those as well, and he never got around to releasing them.
Yeah, that might have been just him setting it up for the future. But we will see if he actually does that.
Yeah, for me, it had to be the moon landing. You know, I remember when I was told about the moon landing, I'm a kid and I still understand, like, okay, we went to the moon in the 60s. Why did we stop going there? And I've never heard a good explanation besides, like, oh, there's just nothing to do there. And now they're talking about going to Mars. And I'm like, okay, if we haven't colonized the moon, how are we going to colonize Mars? Like, doesn't that take like a year, like a couple of years to get to Mars?
I agree with that. And I've actually seen a lot of Buzz Aldrin interviews of him kind of exposing the moon landings, if you will. There's just a lot of weird interviews that tie into each other.
I've seen those.
Yeah, it's It's just questionable.
He's been on the record, and he goes on and he says, he's like, we never went there. He's like, they're like, what did it feel like to be in space? He's like, I don't know, I've never been. And everyone just dismisses him as, oh, he's going, he's old, he's senile. He's like, he's losing his brain function. You're kind of just like, or does he just have no care anymore? He's just trying to express the truth.
Yeah, I think that he kind of just is over being controlled and having his mind being controlled and what he says being controlled. So I think he just doesn't care and is ready for it all to come out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and when it comes to, you know, the word conspiracy theory, you know, I'll say the one thing is it's so easy to dismiss anything that is not mainstream as a conspiracy theory. I mean, a lot of the stuff we're going to talk about today, you try and talk about the normal person, you try and bring this up at dinner, people are just going to be like, oh, that's just made up. That's not real. But wasn't the word conspiracy theory coined by the CIA?
Yes, post-JFK assassination, the CIA coined the term conspiracy theory, like you said, to kind of make people that are questioning the assassination seem a little bit crazy up top. But I think nowadays, with all the secondary media sites like TikTok, maybe Instagram Reels or whatever else, it's exposing a lot of the things that people just don't like to bring up.
Mm-hmm. And I'll say another tough thing is there's so many actual bad conspiracy theories out there that discredit ones that could expose the truth. I know there's this guy named Billy Carson. I know I've watched videos of him. He's gone on Joe Rogan, the Sean Ryan show, and he got in a debate with a biblical scholar and pretty much had a lot of his historical points that he makes get disproven. So it really makes you think when you're looking at this stuff, you know, don't take everything you see at first value. Because, you know, especially with TikTok and Instagram, you're going to see a lot of AI-generated, made-up stuff. Like, I always see this one thing. It's this underground civilization created by the Vanderlei family. I see it all the time. And I was always like, oh, is this real? And then finally, it's labeled AI-generated content.
Yeah, you definitely have to do your own research about things that you're interested in so you can kind of prove to yourself that it's real and prove to others that it's real. And you obviously have to have proof of these things. Otherwise, people are going to be like, what are you talking about? Like, you're crazy. So you have to be careful of what you're looking into and get the facts right and get the resources right for sure.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, one main thing that comes with all of this is that a lot of this is hidden. A lot of this information is hidden, and it's usually hidden by a collective group, you could say. So I think we kick this off with a look into a very illustrious, very well-known group. Or actually the area, more per se, and that is Bohemian Grove. So have you you've heard of Bohemian Grove? You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah. I've heard a lot about it. I think you can credit a lot of the exposure, or if that's the right word.
Exposure
to Alex Jones. He has done a lot of work, and a lot of his work has been proven to be right now that more things are coming out. So I think Bohemian Grove is definitely one of the backbones of conspiracies that kind of play into everything else that we're going to talk about.
Mm-hmm. And for anyone that doesn't know, Bohemian Grove is a 2,700-acre campground located in Sonoma County, California, which belongs to, in my quotations, I'm making it with my fingers, the San Francisco Men's Fine Arts Club. And it was founded in 1872. And there have been a lot of well-known people that have gone to these, a lot of well-known Republicans, some Democrats. I mean, here's just a list of a couple people who have been to these meetings. Ronald Reagan, Richard Nixon, George H.W. Bush and his son George W. Bush, Dwight Eisenhower, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Dick Cheney, a lot of other political and business leaders. I mean, there are so many rich and powerful people that go to this thing, and it's pretty much just dismissed as a meeting of the minds. Like you mentioned, Alex Jones, who a lot of people say, like, oh, this guy's crazy, he was able to capture live footage inside there, and he showed some very weird sacrifices and worshiping an owl god. It was very weird.
Yes, I agree. It is very weird, and that owl god is the god of child sacrifice.
Yeah, Moloch.
Moloch, the god of child sacrifice, and I think it's, I don't know exactly what culture he's the god of child sacrifice in, but it is just very, it's very weird. It's very weird.
It's very disturbing. And it's so mysterious, and it's hidden. And I'm pretty sure, I don't know if it's true, but there are some kids that actually got into there like in the past like few years, and they found out that's completely abandoned. So I think after it got exposed, they packed up shop. But once if anyone wants to see the footage, you can find it pretty much anywhere online if you Google it. And it literally shows all these rich white, I do want to make that happen. It's all white men. It's all old rich white men, all basically chanting and worshiping this owl god, channeling power. And they try and like sacrifice. They have like a sacrifice, which is said to be an effigy, but you never know with these people. And then they burn the giant owl. I mean, it is utterly insane that the rich, this is what the rich and powerful are doing.
Yeah, it's very weird. I think what that is called is the cremation of care ceremony. And that started in, like you said, what was the year?
1872, I think.
And the known creator and the guy who started the Bohemian Grove wrote a book called The Devil's Dictionary. And it is a book that shows some of the earliest members of the American civilization. It's just symbolism showing the American early members of the American civilization and kind of what they have attributed to this group of people going to these cremation of cares.
Really?
Yes.
Well, I mean, I don't even know what to make it. It feels demonic. Like, I've seen the video of what Alex Jones captured, and it is very demonic. And I hear there's a lot of prostitution that goes on there. There's a lot of drinking and drugs involved. So, I mean, this is just all stuff that ties into this whole demonicness of it.
Yes, and you can see a lot of that demonic symbolization in Hollywood, in music, in fashion even. It's everywhere. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm. And I've seen a clip of one of the members that was there, and Alex Jones confronts him on the street, and he basically says, "Oh yeah, you were there. You were there. Like, why are you dismissing this?" And he basically like shuts him down almost. And Alex Jones, when he sent this video of all these people to major news stations, it was completely wiped. So it just shows you the reach of all these people. And my more question is, like, what does this do for them? Is this giving them power from the devil here on Earth? Like, I don't understand what this whole ritual does for them.
Yeah, I don't either. I mean, obviously, spiritualization or spiritualism is huge in this, and I think that there might be a spiritual war going on with this between good and evil for sure. And we don't see it because it might be in a different realm, if you will. It's something that is of higher knowledge than what we can perceive.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all just very weird.
I mean, you've had Rockefellers be at these meetings. You have had presidential assistants, department officials, federal officials all at these, and it just doesn't make sense. Like, it doesn't make sense, and it's easy to dismiss. It's harder to prove these things, because I mean, they control everything.
They do. They really do. I mean, media, music, entertainment, whatever it is, they control it, and they control what goes out there and what we see.
Mm-hmm.
They control essentially our minds, if you will. If you're not questioning these things, it's kind of controlling our minds because you're just submissive to it. And you're like, okay, whatever. Like, nobody really questions it.
No. But I mean, this is all tied together. The more you dive in all this, everything's tied together. And something you'll find is, when I'm talking about all these powerful officials, even anyone who was at Bohemian Grove, a lot of these people are Freemasons. Another one is the Skull and Bones Society. I mean, the Skull and Bones, that one will just blow your mind, that there's a group of people, you know, Skull and Bones. It is this secret society at Yale, you know, a known secret society. And you have had presidents, you've had actors, you have had U.S. representatives, you have had famous authors, clergymen, professors. They've all been members of this elite group. And it doesn't make any sense to me. How are they getting all this power from just joining this group? It's mind-blowing. What do you know about the Well, Skull and Bone Society, Ryan.
Well, I know that the story begins at Yale, like you said. It is a American social history of espionage, drug smuggling, and secret societies intertwined into one. It is a branch of the Illuminati, if you will. A lot of high power people go to it, like you said, and it actually started and it was established by George Washington.
Really?
Yes, it was. I can see that here from the site. And yeah, it's kind of a club that most people will not get into or don't know about. And they help each other out, become powerful, and they scratch each other's backs. And they also have evidence of each other doing very demonic and terrible things.
Yes.
So they can't expose each other. Otherwise, all of that stuff will come out. So it's just a big club that we're not all in.
No. And the entire, you know, when people bring up Jeffrey Epstein and how he was blackmailing people, that is how all these rich people are able to keep this a big secret. And that's how they're able to keep other people a secret. Like, anyone who finds out, they'll either kill them or they'll trap them with something very provocative. Which more often than not is, you know, gay sex, sex with underage people, provocative pictures of them. Because, I mean, sex is probably the easiest thing you can use to blackmail someone, especially if you get them all drugged up and they're wasted, and you can get them to do all sorts of awful things.
Yeah, for sure. It's it all revolves around sex, because I think that might be it might revolve around sex because it takes a little bit of your life energy, maybe your soul energy, yes, out of you, and it kind of just it definitely negatively affects you.
Mm-hmm.
And it keeps you underground, if you will. Like, it doesn't let you evolve or kind of grow your consciousness, because it's just sucking this life force out of you.
No, and this is going to sound, you know, for some people a bit like out of pocket, they'd say, but when you talk about post-nut syndrome, I mean, that's really just you coming back to reality. Because when you're in that moment, if you want to call it horniness, you're not really yourself. You know, especially your mind, like when people are watching porn, like, because porn isn't real sex on any landscape, and it really taps into, I don't want to misquote anything, but I think it's your chakra or something. It's something in your brain.
I think it's the pineal gland.
The pineal gland, that's what it is.
Yeah, that, so there have been pretty much in every cultural or civilization in the history of history, I guess, has something to do with the pineal gland, and having that be your, I guess, your spiritualism and how you can
like a evolve. Third eye,
yeah, like
or
a third eye, okay, almost, and kind of how you can evolve yourself. It is it's on the Pope's staff. It's a big monument in Washington, so there, it's everywhere.
Is that the one shaped like an acorn?
Yeah,
is
shaped like
a pine cone, whatever.
Pine cone. That's why it's called, mm-hmm, pineal gland pine cone.
I mean that has to do with frequencies, which I want to touch on in just a moment, but just some of the members of Skull and Bones, just to just give you an idea of how the majority of the world, let's say out of the 8 billion people in the world, I'd say on a global scale there's maybe like 2 million people in this club, maybe even less. I mean, it is a low number of people that run and control and know a lot about the entire world. I mean, you have obviously the Bushes, you know, George H.W. Bush and George W. Bush. Both of them were bonesmen. You've also had Paul Giamatti, if anyone knows acting, Paul Giamatti. You have Dana Milbank, who is a big author and columnist at the Washington Post, so if that isn't controlling information. You have Michael Cerveris, who's an American singer and guitarist. You have John Kerry, who is the 68th United States Secretary of State. I mean, it goes on and on, but there's just a lot of pro. William Taft, former president, he was in here. You have Olympic medal swimmers. You have U.S. ambassadors. You have historians. You have pretty much anyone who's running a big paper right now. They were someone who was in the Skull and Bone Society, and I don't even know how you get in it. I don't know how you get into this society.
I don't either, and I probably don't want to know, because it requires some very negative, demonic things, I would assume, that I don't want to be involved into.
Mm-hmm. Gosh, here's another one for you. Prescott Bush, who was H.W. Bush's father, I think it was. Insane. Utterly insane. I don't even know what to do about this. It's almost just like it's going to happen. There's nothing you can do about it. But what you're going to find with a lot of these groups is the symbolism. They're all big on symbolism. And it just ties back to the devil, in my opinion.
Yep, and I think that symbolism is karmic retribution. It's kind of, it's like in movies, like you see that one, I think it was probably 50 years ago. It was taking the kids to the Pleasure Island. It was a Disney movie about taking these unethical kids to Pleasure Island. And that ties to karmic retribution, which is they're telling you what is going on so they can't get bad karma for it, essentially, because we're just accepting that that's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not doing anything about it.
I mean, you see that with just about every single thing. I mean, take this LGBT agenda for you. You know, they've literally come out and said, like, hey, we're trying to get all these kids to change their genders, cut off all their genitalia. And it's like, we know it's going on, and just nothing, like, I don't know what I can do to stop it. Like, it's insane.
Yeah, and I think recording this podcast definitely helps, because hopefully at least 10 people that are listening to this kind of wake up to it and realize and do their own research about what's going on and realize that, wow, I mean, a lot of this stuff is probably pretty accurate.
You know, that's true. And when people talk about being woke, you know, I like to think being woke in my mind is when you finally get up one day and realize, okay, there's a lot of evil stuff going on in this world.
Mm-hmm.
And how can this just be happening?
Yep. I think I agree with that. Being woke is questioning what you know, because most of the things we taught are either false or indoctrinated to control our minds and control how we buy, sell, consume, whatever else it is.
I mean, you know, I can recall almost every science class I've had when they've said the Earth is 4.6 billion years old. You know, I just sit there and I go, like, how would we even test that? How would we know that? You know, the average person is living 100 years less nowadays. Like, so, I mean, going back to childhood, I mean, think about the quote, history is written by the victors. I mean, all the knowledge we're taught in the United States school system is just nothing what the truth is, really.
Yeah, I can agree with that. I think that's why you have to do your own research, because the truth is we only know what we're told, right? And mm-hmm. We're told by the school systems who are funded by John D. Rockefeller. And he actually came out with a book. I'd have to look it up here real quick, but it's a book kind of explaining how to control the masses and explaining how to manipulate one's mind through the schooling system. And just a side note, I did a paper in English class in 11th grade. It was, I don't remember the subject, but I wrote about how none of the teachers are millionaires, and they're trying to teach us how to become millionaires, and I failed that because the teacher did not like me going
against. They're like being humiliated, probably.
Yeah, exactly. He didn't like me going against his teachings, and so if you just, these teachers are mostly all in it too. I mean, they're all indoctrinated. Like, you, how can you have somebody who has never made $1 million try to teach you how to make $1 million?
It's true, and that's true with college courses. I mean, you know, I've had some professors where what I'm learning applies to them. And then I've heard other people where it's like, I have a business teacher who's never ran a business, who doesn't work for a business, teach me about business?
Yeah.
Is that just not weird?
Exactly. And the same can go for history teachers. I mean, they're only reading out of a book that was published by the Rockefeller Foundation. So the things that they're teaching us can be 99.99% inaccurate, and we just have no idea.
Mm-hmm. And I think when it comes to the Rockefellers, you're going to be like, okay, let's say he did that. Why would he do it? And, you know, Rockefeller is one of the richest men of his time. And you're going to see this. You see this with Elon Musk. You see this with Jeff Bezos. They've gotten so much money. Money doesn't bring them joy anymore. Now it turns into power. Now it turns into control. And eventually you'll get to a level where it's like the only next thing is immortality, which no one has. So then they just get into this mindset where I think it's like, okay, if I can lead everyone else down a path of destruction, that'll bring me joy. I mean, it truly is good versus evil.
It is. And I found this book here. It is by, it wasn't John D. Rockefeller. It was his brother, Stephen C. Rockefeller.
Stephen C. Rockefeller.
Who was also the, because Rockefeller was oil, right? I believe. Yeah, he was also a big oil tycoon. Obviously, that whole family was. And the book is called Spiritual Democracy of Our Schools. So that just kind of gives me a little negative notation. I mean, you shouldn't have to have spiritual democracy inside of schools, right? Because it's obviously all negative. And what they're trying to apply to us is just, it seems like negative vibes, if you will. It's like negative vibrations, if you will. And so it's just all very suspicious.
You know, vibrations, frequencies, it's really real. And, you know, I was reading the book which Henry Ford had. Oh, my gosh. This is going to kill me. Think and Grow Rich, whoever wrote that book. Henry Ford had someone write that. I think it was Andrew Carnegie had. I have to look it up. But in the book, you know, it's talking about how to think and grow rich, you got to have a plan, you know, you got to connect with people. And then later in the book, it starts talking about you have to be aligned with frequencies. You have to get your mind straight. And the more you realize with all this, it all has to do with the mind and how powerful the mind is. And Ryan, I know you have a lot to say about this.
Yeah, I just want to add one more thing to the book that you were talking about, Think and Grow Rich, that has to do with our school systems. I've never been taught how to think and grow rich in school. I've always been taught to go to school, get a job, fall into the 9-to-5 order, and just be, in quotations, that perfect civilized person that is just adding to the economy.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, it's deep. It gets really deep. But yeah, I'm huge on the frequencies, and I've done a lot of research on it. And one thing that you can do with frequencies is you can, I guess, kill cancer cells, and you can kill, so everything has a resonant frequency. This table has a resonant frequency. Mm-hmm. Our skin has a resonant frequency. Everything does. And so I did some research about this thing called a Rife machine, and it goes back to a guy named Mr. Rife in the, I think it was like the 40s or 50s. He did his own research, and he created an electromagnetic frequency to target cancer cells and kill them without affecting regular tissue. He tested it on lab rats and had a 100% success rate. He opened a clinic in 1934. 16 people with cancer went in. 16 people left cancer-free. He was ridiculed and sued by the American Medical Association. Right after the lawsuit, his lab and notes were destroyed. And it works almost as the same way as an opera singer can shatter glass. The opera singer's voice matches the same frequency at which the glass is vibrating at, and so it just shatters it. So it essentially, you can pump frequencies. I don't exactly know how it works, but you can put frequencies into the body to target certain cells and essentially just zap them, and it kills them like that, the same way an opera singer shatters glass. And it's crazy, because frequencies is everything. And that ties a lot to Nikola Tesla, which we'll get to. And our U.S. government uses it with I got to find it here. It's called an active denial system. It is a vibrational state at which it is used in war to kind of control crowds. It sends a non-lethal millimeter-sized wave of electromagnetic energy that causes a burning sensation. A two-second burst heats the skin to 130 degrees so that that ADS system that they use matches the frequency at which our skin vibrates and heats it up just like that. So, I mean, it is actively being used in the military, and I'm sure it's being used everywhere else. Probably the elites are using it to kill their own cancer. And you'll never unfortunately, you'll never see it in modern science because the money's not there. I mean, to keep people on medication and paying for these cancer bills, it keeps big pharma, you know, big pharma.
That's excellent. I never thought about that, you know, the opera singer in the glass and the frequency. I think a lot of people are going to hear that and be like, okay, well, why would the health system want to control it? What about all the doctors and nurses? And my immediate thoughts is that, you know, it's easier to control the masses than it probably is to control a few people. You know, it's because it's a few controlling the masses. And if you already have indoctrinated all these nurses, doctors, people like that, that all these machines work sort of similar to teachers, that this is how you teach stuff, they'll never find out these methods. But I mean, I heard Mel Gibson was just on the Joe Rogan Experience, and he was talking about it. He had friends who were killed the cancer in their bodies 100% from taking certain medicines that they aren't supposed to. But the frequencies, I mean, it's everything. I mean, you have to think that frequencies come together with your energy. So, I mean, if you are operating in a high energy state, you're positive, you're feeling good, you're going to be more productive, you're going to have a happier life. But truly, if your frequency is low and you feel shame, you feel like everyone hates you, you just are mad at the world, you will live a bad life.
That's true. It's all about the mindset. If you think positively, the positive things out in the world will attract to you because they match with what your brain or how you're thinking is vibrating, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
So it's that can tie into manifestation. I don't know too much about it, but I know that it is definitely real, and there's plenty of people that have plenty of subjects out there proving that manifestation is real. And it also goes into like dimensional states, 5D dimensional states, but that's for a different subject.
It's insane. All of this information.
It is very insane. And I hope that all of you listeners are taking this to heart and kind of like realize that you can do your own research and find this out yourself.
Uh-huh. Now, the one thing I'll say with manifestation and with these energies is you have to be careful. You truly have to be careful because, well, a lot of these, you know, we're talking about Skull and Bone Society, we're talking about Beam and Grove, they are channeling dark energies. And dark energies will always lead you back to demons, most likely. And so when you're manifesting something, you just have to remember that you are not God. Okay, a lot of people are going to be like, I'm my own God. You know, I'm in control of my life completely. I can do whatever I want. I'm my own God. You have to remember that, I mean, I've heard this famous quote, there are no atheists in the foxhole. You know, have you ever heard of that?
Yeah.
You have to understand that there is a God out there. There is a God. You're created by something. Because have you ever experienced deja vu, Ryan, or something?
Yes, 100%.
Yeah, whenever I experience deja vu, it makes me really realize that, like, there's something up with the world. Like, the world is much bigger than that. Or, like, when I'm thinking about something, and then that something happens. Like, that's happened to me.
It's the same thing as, and I know this has happened to everyone out there. You think of, maybe you want to get a new watch. 5 minutes later, you get an ad on your phone for different watches.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing as that. And our iPhones, or whatever phone you have, actually operate on electromagnetic frequencies. And you can go in your settings on the iPhone and see the output of frequency that it's giving out, I guess, if you will. So it all ties into each other. Everything has a frequency. Everything operates on a resonant frequency.
Mm-hmm. And you were talking about Tesla earlier, and some interesting is, you know, when people think of Tesla nowadays, they're just going to think of Elon Musk's car brand, which, fun fact, Elon Musk didn't even start that. He actually bought it from someone, fun fact. But Nikola Tesla is actually the man where that name comes from. And Nikola Tesla had this thing called the 369 method. And he believed that the numbers 3, 6, and 9 were the keys to, I want to say, just unlimited information of the entire world, all the knowing. And from what I found out is that 3 basically symbolizes like a direct link to the universe. So through the number 3, you can have a direct link to the universe. 6 is strengthen ourselves. And I do want to point out that in the Bible, 666 is the number of the Antichrist, of false prophets. So I always found that interesting. Like, okay, you know, he thinks that this number is that. This is also in the Bible. And then 9 has to do with releasing negative energy. And he also had this theory that if you repeat your affirmations about what you want in life 3 times in the morning, 6 times at night, 9 times in the evening, it'll come true, or even doing 3 positive affirmations 6 times a day over 9 days, your self will come true. And like, I think those are like the only 3 numbers out of the 1 through 9 and 0 that when you double them, times them or something, they all come back to each other. Does that sound familiar, Ryan?
Yeah, that definitely sounds familiar. And I think that has to play, you were talking about doing the 3-6-9 method for affirmations. I think that plays in with the, because our brain is made up of 2 things, subconscious and consciousness. And if, like, let's say you see something on the street and you immediately think something negative about it, that's your subconscious mind speaking. And that's your subconscious is basically a negative portrayal of life. And if you go into anything with that, negative things are going to attract to you because that's what your subconscious mind is operating at. And that is a thing that plays into manifestation, is that if you do those affirmations, then you're consciously thinking about it, but your subconscious has it locked into that mind, and that it'll attract all of the positive things that you want in life.
Mm-hmm. And the subconscious mind, you know, I think that's the real battle. You know, subconscious mind, that's to do with your spirituality, your soul, because your conscious mind, it's what you can think of on your own. Your subconscious mind, it's really like a part of your brain inside your head right now, as you're listening to this, as we are speaking right now, that is having its own thoughts, that has been programmed, right, through your whole life. I think that's another thing when we talk about the school system. They've programmed you, and you really have to break out of that. Now, I'm not saying anyone that's been working their whole lives and has been, you know, working that 9-to-5. I hate to use the word that they're like caught in like a trap or something, but more often than not, I see this more and more, is that most people, I'd say well over 70%, aren't happy to get up Monday through Friday and go to work all day and then come home. And I think that that's something they've programmed into our subconscious minds, probably through the schooling system.
Yeah, 100%. I agree with that. And you can see the programming also in Hollywood.
There's
many different Hollywood music, whatever it is, whatever they control, they're going to try to program it to kind of link into your mind. There's many different YouTube videos that'll just flash a little demonic symbolism, and that maybe your conscious mind picks it up for a second, and then you're just like, okay, whatever. But that sticks into your subconscious mind, and that sticks, that negativity sticks with you, even though you don't know it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I can think of so many songs, music videos that can reference that. And I think when I found out that music is controlled, it really awakens you. And you know, it sucks because, you know, I like rock. I like metal. You know, I like Metallica. But then I'm listening to these lyrics, you know, the rap music, you know, they got some hard bars, but it's all negativity. I mean, there is nothing positive about sleeping with tons of women, doing tons of drugs, killing people, and then they glorify it. And they have so many of these rappers on record saying, we're paid more to talk about this stuff. They're paid more to praise the devil than they are to praise God.
Yeah, yeah, it's really crazy. And all these rappers and all of these movies, like take the new drug Galaxy Gas, take that for example.
Yeah.
I really think that Galaxy Gas was put into the masses or put into some certain communities to kind of keep them negative and keep them down, you know, keep them high, keep them submissive. Because once they're on that Galaxy Gas, they're always chasing that high, and they're always chasing that negativity that also plays in to all the rap and all of the things that they talk about, including murder, sex, you know, everything that you just named.
It's mind-blowing. Like, I can't believe this stuff. And the movies, too. I mean, there's just so much imagery they'll sneak in there. And you can catch it now if you're watching. I mean, we were watching the game the other night, the football game, and there was some ad for this new show coming out. I think it's Severance Season 2. And can you remember they were showing something? We immediately saw, like, goat horns in it and something like dark entity. And, like, that's just not good. It's just evil.
Yeah, it's very evil. It's all just, it's all meant to connect with the subconscious mind. Because like I said earlier, your conscious mind sees it for a second And then maybe you're like, okay, that's weird. You never think about it again after that. But the subconscious mind thinks about it, and then that eventually implements into your conscious mind, which negatively affects you. So it's all just crazy.
I know. I wish I could just go through. I wish I could find like some songs where it's they just say things out of nowhere. Like Lady Gaga is a massive one. You can find so many demonic lyrics in Lady Gaga songs. I mean, she has a popular song called Judas, and she literally says, "I'm in love with Judas, baby." Now, if anyone who's a Christian knows, Judas is the one who betrayed Jesus. Judas is the one who got Jesus killed. She also has songs where she's, I'm trying to think of it, you know, Poker Face has some certain lyrics that I can think of, but also do with programming, and that programming taps into the subconscious mind. It's, I don't even know where to go with that.
Yeah, one music video that has a lot of like subconscious programming is Where Are You Now by Justin Bieber.
You showed me that.
Yep. If you go from the timestamp of 110 to, I'm trying to see where it ends, to about 125, just go from 110 to 125 and pause it every second or every half second, yes. I guess, as quick as you can. And there's just some crazy symbolism. I mean, here's Justin Bieber with devil horns on him.
Mm-hmm.
Justin Bieber with the word ball next to him, which, you know, ball is a god of child sacrifice. And, you know, pedophilia is huge within the music and Hollywood industry.
Uh-huh. And, I mean, here's the song I was thinking of. It's Bloody Mary by Lady Gaga. She says, "To kill the king upon the throne, I'm going to dance with my hands above my head like Jesus said." So, I mean, that's directly talking about a crucifixion there. And then later on, I mean, she's talking about, "When you're gone, I'll still be Bloody Mary." I mean, that just sounds evil. "I won't cry for you. I won't crucify the things you do." I mean, I don't get the good vibes. We're talking about these positive energies and stuff. Those are negative energies. And have you seen, you might have seen this, of she was one of the people, I think it was at, have you ever seen How I Met Your Mother or heard of that?
Yes.
Do you know Barney from that, the blonde guy? So the actor, I can't remember his name. He is, oh my gosh, this is going to kill me. But he hosted a Hollywood party. And at the party, they had a punch, I don't even want to call it a bowl. It was like a punch, something as long as a table. And in it, they had a replica dead body caught up. And that was where you scooped your punch from. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. There's also the Rothschild ball in like the 70s. A lot of weird symbolism there. You can easily find that on YouTube. And another thing that I want to track back on about the music industry and the negativity around it is this Lil Nas X seducing the devil in his Montero music video.
I mean, that entire music video, yes.
It starts off of him getting casted out from the stairs of heaven and going down to the devil and doing sexual acts to him. So, I mean, it's everywhere. You can see it in a majority of music videos, or you can hear it in a majority of popular people's songs.
And it goes into their contracts. They have to do these demonic things. And what you'll notice is, you know, look at Lil Nas X when he had his song first breakout. He was a completely normal person. Then fame, popularity, it turns homosexual, it turns demonic, and it just turns into something that just is disgusting. And it's tough to stay away from it because, you know, it's everywhere. You know, I can hardly go on any app and find positivity. I mean, think about Instagram comments. You know, they're super funny. That's all negativity. You know, and surrounding yourself with positive forces, it's tough to do now.
Yeah, I saw, I think it was a Sean Ryan interview. I cannot remember who he was interviewing, but he said that probably about 50-60% of all the comments on Twitter or Instagram or, you know, whatever social media site you're using are fake accounts made to comment negative things and get people arguing with each other. Yep. So that they're not aligning with each other to focus on real problems in the real world, that they're just arguing with each other over these just brutal subjects.
It's just, yeah. I, oh, I The world, Ryan, what does it come to?
I know, and that's why, it's a little side note, that's why I think politics is very messed up. They're two wings of the same bird. I think politics are meant for the people to fight each other and not agree with each other to fight what's truly evil in this world.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we were watching the inauguration this morning, and I saw someone comment on Twitter, and they said, do we think all the people in this room truly represent the American people? And I'm thinking, this is a bunch of millionaires. A couple of them might be on the verge of billionaires, and they're just appointing one of the, you know, Trump. Here's the thing with Trump, and I just can't get over it, you know. For the longest time, Bohemian Grove, they would decide who the next president was. You can follow people who would go to Bohemian Grove, they would become president there. And, you know, people think Trump is super establishment. And I think, you know, it's not easy for people to control him. But you have to understand the people that truly run the world, whether it's the 13 ancient families, whether it's the Rothschilds, whether it's these oil tycoons in wherever they are, but whoever these people are, they would not truly let him control the most powerful country on the planet Earth without meeting with him first and establishing rules.
Yeah, I mean, I really hate to say it, but Trump could potentially be controlled opposition. I really don't think you get that high up in power and you're not controlled, unfortunately. I mean, the same goes for Elon Musk. It's just, I mean, question everything, because what we all know is 99.99% false.
Mm-hmm. I think I'm more sold on Trump than I am on Elon. Elon is a side switcher so hard, and he, you know, remember when he went, was it the Met Gala ball? He wore a straight up a demonic, I don't even know what you want to call it, almost like an ancient suit or something, like an ancient what did the knights wear? Armor. He almost had like demonic armor on.
Yeah, it was the 2017 Met Gala ball, and he had a picture of some...
Was it Baphomet?
It was, I think it was the Baphomet, or it was some very demonic force on the back. He had a picture of his back. I mean, you can all look it up right now. And
he had an upside-down cross on it as well.
Upside-down cross on it. Yeah, it's all just really messed up.
You know, and then another thing when I think of Trump, though, is he, you know, he's mentioning God, you know, he's trying to save the children. So, you know, I don't really think he's evil. I think, you know, there's, you know, like Hillary Clinton, I honestly believe she's evil. Her and Bill Clinton.
The Hillary Clinton Foundation, very corrupt, obviously. I'm sure a lot of people know. They only donated about 2-3% of the billions of dollars that they got and kept the rest. One thing I want to add about Trump is I do think that maybe early on in his career, he was not his political career, but his professional career, I think he was controlled, and there's pictures of him and Epstein hanging out, but then a lot of people are saying that once he found out what's really going on, and once he was kind of invited to these parties, he got out of there. So I'm really hoping that Trump is just turning a new page and trying to fight the corruption and fight the evil going on, which I do think is what he's doing. Because there's pictures of him and Epstein hanging out, but once he found out what's going on, he got out of there really quick.
Yeah, I think I saw someone was on the Sean Ryan show talking about how, you know, there's a lot of pictures of Epstein with people, and their thought process is Epstein was getting pictures with anyone he could, so then even if he was caught, people would think that he's with them.
Exactly, yeah. And once all this Epstein stuff came out, people started resurfacing these images of Trump and Epstein and try to say that, oh, Trump's a terrible guy. He's friends with Epstein. He's all this and that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, these pictures happened in the 90s. This was before Epstein was even famous, I guess, if you will.
Known.
This was before Epstein was known. So I agree with you saying that he was trying to infiltrate anyone and everyone he can.
Now, speaking of Trump, this is what we found out. You know, you told me about this, and I looked at this a bit ago. This information is just something that, you know, you just can't comprehend. So, Ryan, do you want to tell everyone about Barron Trump and his time traveling? This is the craziest thing I've heard in a while.
Yeah, this is definitely my favorite, in quotations, conspiracy theory. And I say in quotations because there's a lot of evidence to this. So... This ties into Nikola Tesla, right? He died, I think it was 50s or 60s, 40s, whatever it was. When he died, Donald Trump's uncle, John G. Trump, who was an MIT scientist for 40 years, he was sent by the FBI. He was the first person sent by the FBI to go recover his research, or, you know, all of his things that he came up with.
Yeah.
And they sent him so they could try to get some sort of weaponized stuff for the military to use, because this was at the time of the Cold War and right after World War II. So, I mean, they're doing anything and everything they can to get the upper hand. And so John G. Trump, he goes and gets Nikola Tesla's boxes. There is about 70 files or boxes of information, if you will. He only reported 30. And one of the things that Tesla was known for trying to discover is time travel. And this one's crazy. So a book came out in 1896 called Baron Trump's Marvelous Underground Journey. The book is about Baron Trump time traveling. And keep in mind, this is in 1896, before the Trump family was even famous or known. And you can all look up this book and you can all read it too. It was written by a guy called Ingersoll Lockwood. And the same year, he released a book called The Last President. This was in 1899, I believe. And the book takes place in New York City, and the main building that it takes place in is the same address to Donald Trump's tower in New York. And the guy in the book that worked for the White House was named Pence. In the books, Baron Trump's mentor is named Don. And in The Last President, the address, I already said that, but the address is Trump's tower. So there's a lot of evidence of Trump being a time traveler because of these books coming out before the Trumps were known. And it's just really crazy. There's a video that you guys can all go watch on YouTube. It explains it a lot better than I can, but it also has to do with Elon Musk, because you sent me a tweet about a month ago or something of Wernher von Braun. He came out with the book. Wernher von Braun was the godfather of rocket science, right? He came out with a book in the 50s about colonizing Mars, and the main, like the main person was named Elon in the book. And it's Elon tweeted out about a month and a half ago of that book, and he said it's just a coincidence, winky face. So it's all just really weird. It's crazy. It's all just really crazy.
That's another thing that really intrigues me with, you know, so-called conspiracy theories, is can there be this many coincidences? Can there be this many name coincidences? And I don't think so, you know, because what are the odds that Donald Trump, you know, let's just say, what are the odds last name's Trump? You know, Trump, it could be whatever. What are the odds he names his son Baron?
Right.
Okay. That has to be, like, either time travel actually took place here, which is just unexplainable, or in the only lot that I don't even know. There's just no explaining in it.
Another thing to add for this coincidence, in quotations, because I don't think it's a coincidence, is this was well before the Donald Trump Tower was established in New York. And the book, The Last President, takes place in New York at the address of the current Donald Trump Tower before it was a thing. So, I mean,
so the address, that's another weird one.
It's just crazy.
And this Ingersoll Lockwood guy, the man who wrote it, you showed me, he has an official website. Yeah, he's since passed. But he has a website, and if you go to this website, I don't know if you have the official name, Ryan.
Yeah, it's just www.ingersolllockwood.com. And if you go on the homepage and copy everything on the homepage and paste it into a Word document, you can see about 5 or 10 hidden links that are hidden within these. You know, there's a hidden link right here on a period, and you would have no idea unless you pasted it on like a Word document or notes or something, because the link shows up on there as a different color than the actual text. And it brings up Epstein files. It brings up that the Nazis potentially had UFO technology. And it's just, it's all really crazy.
And just another thing, like, why would there be a site of this guy who just wrote this book? And why is this site filled with a bunch of intriguing information? I mean, on the, you can literally go on this. The first thing you're going to see when you go onto the homepage, the U.S. Space Force is hiring. Like, okay, is that not weird that an official United States Space Force hiring thing is on the homepage of this?
I mean, I know, it's crazy. If you go on the history tab about the history of the actual Ingersoll Lockwood guy, it says right here, in the late 1800s, our namesake Ingersoll Lockwood delivered futuristic and visionary content over a century ahead of his time. Our mission is to build a brighter future for humanity, starting with the resurgence of American exceptionalization and strong defense. And then his namesake right here, Ingersoll Lockwood, time traveler, mystery man, futurist, read his books, you decide. So, I mean, it's all, it's just all plays into each other. It's,
yeah, and if you want to get in contact with this site, because they do something, you know, they, I think they say they reinvest, they profit, they have a management team and stuff. You can go to the Washington, D.C. office officially. So how weird is that? This takes place in Washington, D.C. I don't even know what to make of any of this. Yeah. They actually have a LinkedIn. How about that?
It's very odd. I actually emailed their inquiries email last night. I'm waiting for a response.
Really?
So I'm really hoping to talk to somebody about this. And
that would be really interesting. You know, that's another thing. Are these guys controlled opposition? I think that's something you run into, is when you start thinking even the conspiracy theorists are controlled, then you just you lose all sense of reality. So it's tough to hang on to everything.
It really is. And you can really, like, go down the rabbit hole or go down the hole here, and you just have to, you have to stay, as crazy as it sounds, you have to stay sane, because a lot of this stuff will make you almost seem crazy, because it's all just like, what the F?
Yeah.
You know, it's just, it's crazy. You have to have good balance when you're researching this type of stuff.
I'll say, you know, learning all this really makes anything I do just feel futile. You know, like if I go and I play video games for an hour or two and I'm done and I'm like, what did I achieve doing that? You know, I watch a football game. What did this do for me? Like, you know, people bring up how, like how the Romans, when Rome was in turbulent times, they would hold massive sporting events in the Colosseum, distract all the citizens. Is that what all this American sports are and movies and stuff? I mean, I don't even know what to enjoy anymore, Ryan.
I know.
I don't even know what to do with my life.
I don't either. Yeah, I don't either. I mean, give the masses bread and entertainment and they'll stay complacent.
Mm-hmm.
That's a famous quote from, I don't remember what emperor it was of Rome, but a famous quote from a Roman emperor.
One of the Caesars.
It's really crazy. But yeah, Trump's a time traveler.
Yeah, yeah, it's confirmed. Trump is time traveling, yep. And there's nothing we can do about it.
Yep. I mean, if all these elites are time traveling, just give me like a monthly subscription. I don't care how much I have to pay. I would love to see how the pyramids were made.
Dude, that's what I'm saying. I mean, the pyramids, there's real no explanation for the pyramids.
There isn't.
There really isn't.
There really isn't. And, I mean, we only know how old the pyramids are because of little organisms pulled out of the stone. Were dated back, I don't know, a couple thousand years ago. And that's the only way we know that it was, that they're that old, which those organisms could have died and gotten reborn or whatever. So it's,
and rocks too. So all, you know, figuring out how old stuff is, it's so much more difficult than even, you know, I can never date anything. I don't know. Especially hundreds of years, thousands of years past.
It's insane. I would say most of our history is just speculation. Just nobody, I mean, this might sound crazy, but how do we know dinosaurs were real? I mean, we only have speculation, mm-hmm. right?
Now, here's something interesting which I thought about, is that look how far we have progressed in the last, I'll even go as far to say since 2000, the last 25 years now, with technology. Do you mean to tell me that from the dawn of civilization, let's say after death of Jesus, let's say the thousand, what would this be? The 2,000 years since then, that we have not progressed in any form, like technologically, with this stuff? Like, were the 1800s, 1700s, 1600s, 1500s, were they all just living in like normal, like stone houses and stuff? Or is there ancient technologies that they used and it was just destroyed in some cataclysmic event?
I think it was ancient technologies used. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if the iPhone could have the tech. I wouldn't be surprised if we had the technology to make the iPhone 100 years ago, but they just didn't decide to release that until, I don't know, 20 years ago, whenever it came out, just to kind of keep us slowly evolving, mm-hmm. just so we don't essentially go past the limits of their control, if you will.
Yeah. Well, when I think about like all this control, we've talked about like all the minds and stuff, you know, it really makes me think of what is freedom. And it makes me think of like America, you're probably the most free in America. You can really do pretty much whatever you want within the law, if you will. But, you know, I think about, like, there was this Nelk video where they visited an uncontacted tribe. And I was thinking, that tribe is probably more free than most Americans, you know. They have their own island. They can do whatever they want. But then, you know, there's some people where they have to report to someone. They have to do something every single day. They can't go someplace. So it makes you wonder, like, what is freedom anymore?
Yeah, I mean, I'm wondering the same thing. I mean, obviously, we all have our own free will to do what we like. But if that just goes against ideology of what's out there, then we're instantly either falsely imprisoned or buried. Our thoughts or ideas are buried, which I think what happened to Tesla, because he had a lot of things that went against major companies making a lot of money. Like free energy, if you will.
Yes, free energy.
Yes, it's...
That is massive. Free energy would change the world. And the water-powered car, that's a famous one.
Yep, that is very true. You can power... you can power a car off of water. You just have to separate the hydrogen from the oxygen and use the hydrogen gas to power your car. Yeah.
You know, that makes me think of, like, why don't you just do that? Well, it's because they make the cars not possible to do that. You know, whenever I change the oil at my dad, he always tells me, he's always like, why do they make this so difficult? And my immediate thought is, well, so then you have to go to a dealership to pay them to change your oil. So if you're trying to do this water, hydrogen separation, or whatever it is, you know, you're going to need a lot more tools than most people have.
Yeah, yep. It just keeps the oil companies rich, keeps us consuming and spending money on them.
Uh-huh. But, you know, we were talking about the presidents, all these people connected, if you will. This one is, there's just some things you can explain, then there's just other things you can't explain. And this one is unexplainable to me, how apparently every president is connected through a bloodline. Is this true? Oh.
Yeah, so... Let me find out my notes here. So 13 years ago, a 12-year-old girl did a school project and connected 500,000 names of all the presidents and their parents and however far down the chain goes, and connected the lineage of every president but one, Martin Van Buren. I don't know why he's not connected or what that has to do with it.
Martin Van Buren, okay.
Connected all of the president's lineage to one king. King John of England from 1199 to 1216. And King John of England is from the royal house of Plantagenet. I don't know how to properly enunciate it.
I don't know what
that is. But the folklore around the time, and you can all look this up. Look up all presidents are related to one king, and you'll find many sources of this. They're all related to one king, and the folklore about that House Plantagenet is that they're descendants from a demon, and people around that time were criticizing the king and that bloodline of being a very evil king and a very evil bloodline because of how destructive they are and how addicted to war and blood and sacrifice they are. And it's just really crazy because it can't be a coincidence, right? It's just
crazy.
No,
like, how is that even humanly possible?
I know. And there's a book called The Demon's Broad. It is about the first mother of the Plantagenet bloodline. And it just all plays into each other. It's really crazy. I want all of you listeners to do your own research on this one because it's wild.
I mean, the fact even a few are related, but the fact that we have 40, would it be six now? 40, actually, we've had repeats like 42 or something.
Yeah, whatever it is.
I mean, it doesn't surprise me. That doesn't tell you that they're in the club or something.
Yeah, I mean, Royal Bloodline has been huge throughout all the great empires. I mean, Roman empires, all the different medieval empires, they're all marrying kings and queens from other countries.
Yeah, for like modern, just a great modern example, think of Game of Thrones. You have to have the bloodline of your family to rule. And I mean, it's no different in the real world here. Yeah.
It's insane. But yeah, all presidents are related to one folklore person that is a descendant from the devil, apparently.
Yeah, what are the odds that that person writes a book about how they're demonology of this bloodline, and they're all tied to the presidents? Like, just another weird thing, you know? You can only say coincidence so many times.
I know, it's really crazy. I was texting you about this last night, about the, what was it? It was one of the founders of the, what is it called?
Group?
Yeah, I'll find it here. I gotta read this text.
One of the multiple groups? Because, I mean, you know, we haven't talked about Freemasons yet, but that's another thing I'm interested in.
Yeah, me too. So I found this quote here. It is from Saint Bernard, one of the co-founders of the Knights Templar.
The Knights Templar.
He said, from the devil they sprang, and to the devil they shall go, about the Plantagenet bloodline, which is the bloodline of King John of England, which all but one presidents are related to. So if the co-founder of the Knights Templar is saying that, I think that's a big deal.
Yeah. Knights Templar is another organization, another historic organization. Actually, I guess they're organizations, but another group. They all just seem to tie together.
Yeah, it's weird. And the Knights Templar got banned, or the Christian church got rid of them because they're suspected of practicing witchcraft and mysticism.
Mm-hmm.
So it all just ties into like demonization or negativity of things that we don't understand, I guess.
No.
I don't understand witchcraft. I don't understand mysticism and alchemy or whatever.
That's just stuff not to be messed with.
Yeah. It's really crazy.
Another interesting point when I think about that is how a lot, and when I say a lot, I mean a ton of even semi-famous, very famous people are Jewish. And we were just looking at people and like, oh, they're Jewish. Oh, they're Jewish. And you're like, what is it with Jewish people and running the world? Like, Jews run the world. You've heard that plenty of times. What even is that?
Yeah, I don't understand. And obviously, no hate towards the Jewish people. It just happens to be them being the ones that everything is linked to for some reason. One crazy one I found out, Haley Welch, Hawktua girl, is 90% English, and she, or English, 90% Jewish, and she blew up out of nowhere. So that could potentially be like a plant, an industry plant, to keep people's minds kind of focused on things that, I can't think of the word, focused on monetary value, or focus on negative thoughts of Hawktua or whatever, or what that implies.
Yeah, that could mean something we don't even know in Latin or something.
Yeah.
And that, people will hear that and go, that sounds crazy, but you'd be surprised.
Yeah.
You'd be surprised.
Yeah.
There was this one clip of who is the ball? Rubin. Rubin, you know, the trading card billionaire. You know, he's
Michael Rubin.
Michael Rubin.
Yep.
Of him introducing Aiden Ross to Robert Kraft. Robert Kraft, owner of the Patriots. And Robert Kraft's kind of like, okay. And then Rubin's like, this is a nice Jewish kid here. And there you have Robert Kraft, Rubin, and now Aiden Ross, who are all Jewish. And he got like a nod from Robert Kraft after he said, hey, this is a young Jewish kid. Like, what?
Yeah, I don't understand it. I don't...
You know, the Rothschilds, they're all Jewish.
Yeah. It's, I mean, once you start doing your own research, you realize how connected everything is.
I know. So it's almost like trying to tie it all together. My best explanation is that it just, you know, as a Bible-believing man, it would just have to come down to the God versus the devil, and people falsely believing that if you give your life to the devil on earth, you'll be good forever. But then what happens when you die?
Yeah.
Bad things.
And some proof of this is actually how I was a believer, but I wasn't completely sold. But then I was after I found out the devil existed. Because obviously if there's a devil, there's a God. And there's so much symbolism about the devil on this planet, on this earth. And if you don't believe, you should start believing, because it's very real. People are selling their souls all the time. That's, you know, that's proof. There's proof of that. It's crazy. It's just very
you
crazy.
Can once you notice, once you realize it's everywhere, you'll notice it ever. Any pretty much every song you'll listen to. I mean, just for a majority of songs, pop songs, rap songs, just listen for anything that references, you know, anything biblical, whether that be God, whether that be Jesus or the devil. I mean, Yeet, for example, the amount of lyrics we were hearing with Yeet was just insane. He has these one bars where he's talking about, like, eating organs, selling his soul. He's like, the devil's talking to me.
Yep, yeah. It's, I mean, pretty much any modern rap that you listen to has a reference to the devil or a demon or something. And it's just crazy. If there's proof of the devil, there's proof of the God. Mm-hmm. That's all I have to say.
Absolutely. I mean, here's just some other people that are all Jewish. Let me know if this is weird. Daniel Radcliffe, Harry Potter, Adam Sandler, Gal Gadot, Jake Gyllenhaal, Harrison Ford, Mila Kunis, Dustin Hoffman, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Natalie Portman, Shia LaBeouf, Amy Winehouse, Bob Dylan, Andrew Garfield, Woody Allen, Jack Black. I mean, the list goes on. Ben Stiller. On IMDb, they have over 250 listed Jewish celebrities and cultural icons. Yeah. Is that not, like, okay?
It's crazy. I don't know what to make of all of that either. Like, I want to know what it means, but I don't.
And another thing is that they're not practicing Jews. Like, when you think of, like, Jewish people, you probably think of they're in the synagogue, they wear, like, the suits and the hats, the long hair. All these rich people, that's not what they do. They probably don't even go to a synagogue. I mean, have you seen the award shows and they're out here? They praise the devil. Think about when Christian Bale, he won an award and he said, I want to dedicate this to Satan for his inspiration. I mean, gross.
Yeah, there's just too many references to the devil to not believe in that's actually happening.
Mm-hmm. Now, another thing of symbolism, which I noticed, is, have you seen Squid Games?
Yes, I saw the first season. Second season, I have not.
So, second season, pretty good. But the first season, basically, when we were talking about the Rothschild Ball in the 1960s, 70s, in Squid Game Season 1, you see these elites watching the games, which is they're watching people fight for money to the death, and they're wearing animal masks, which look eerily similar to the masks worn at the Rothschild Ball. They also have imagery in the Squid Games thing of a checkered, a white and black checkered board with a Illuminati triangle over it, which the Freemasons frequently use, both of those. And they also have where the elites watch the games, almost like this Garden of Eden setting, and you have these naked women dressed up as snakes. I mean, unexplainable. That makes me think of Eyes Wide Shut. We watched that by Stanley Kubrick. That film basically exposed the satanic rituals they do.
Yeah.
In the elite squares.
Yeah, I mean, they're all doing sex parties. They're all doing all this negative, this stuff that's negatively draining you. It's all crazy. I mean, I'm pulling up pictures of this Rothschild ball right now.
There's a lot more weird stuff than just animal masks at that.
Yeah, there's a girl with devil horns right here. There's a girl with an actual gutted out deer head. It's a deer head with the antlers on, and she's wearing it, and she has two horns going out at each side. So, I don't know what to make of this.
There is nothing to make of it. It's just, first off, the fact that we have these pictures, I consider them blessed that we were able to see this weirdness. Yes, I'm seeing the stuff you're looking at. Like, why are they all dressed up in these weird outfits? It looks like the Hunger Games almost. You know, the Hunger Games, when they have all the weird outfits.
Yeah,
what this looks like.
All the elite people that aren't participating in the games are kind of calling the shots and wearing all these weird outfits. I mean, I don't know what they symbolize.
You know, sometimes I see this and, you know, maybe I am glad I live a pretty normal life sometimes. Like, are these people happy? Do these people smile? I feel like they just want greed and more money. It is outstanding.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't. Maybe they're happy. They're complacent, so they're happy at the position they're in right now. But they're not necessarily thinking of the future and post life and what that entails.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a lot of negativity. I say we talk about something that may be returning, some cool things that Donald Trump may be bringing back, and that is world fairs. You know, I've always wanted to go to a world fair. Have you heard some of the stuff that they've created or released at these world fairs?
I have, yeah. It seems super cool. And there hasn't been a world fair since, I don't know, 1920 or something like that, at least 100 years
like
ago.
Like a good world fair. I think they're having some ones going on some...
Oh, they were.
Well, like the one the nearest one I have is one in Osaka, Japan in 1970, where they released IMAX movies. That was pretty cool. The Space Needle in Seattle, that was unveiled at a world fair. The Mustang, was unveiled at the 1964 New York World Fair. The X-Ray, revealed at the 1901 New York Fair. And Tesla, he had one at the Chicago World Fair?
I'm not too sure. It might have been, but that was when he introduced the Wondercliff Tower, I believe it's what it's called.
Wondercliff Tower.
That's the free energy tower of harnessing.
Really? And that was at a world fair.
I am like 90% sure.
90% sure.
But yeah, so take that with a grain of salt.
But yeah, I would so go to one if we were able to get a world fair. I mean, that would be absolutely amazing. All the stuff they have there.
Yeah, it seems super cool. I mean, it's stuff that I never would have thought I would have seen in my lifetime, honestly.
No, I mean...
I'm trying to pull up the...
So this is coming from Wikipedia, Ryan, but there actually have been some world... They're called World Expos now, but there was one in Buenos Aires, Argentina, which was canceled in 2023. There's one planned for Japan... And there was one that did take place in Dubai in 2022. But all the famous ones where you hear stuff, that all happened back in the early 1900s, I believe.
Yeah, we haven't seen something like that probably for a long time. Obviously not in our generation, but it's cool. I mean, a lot of cool ideas are at these world fairs of stuff that you would never think to see.
Yeah, so one that comes to mind is the Century of... Progress World Fair, the 1934 Chicago World Fair. That's a very famous one. That one had a variety of weird things. The Admiral Byrd's Polar Expedition, there was like a exhibition there talking about what he discovered with what could be in Antarctica. You had high-speed trains being shown there. You had railroads being shown there. And I mean... It just looks futuristic. They have blimps hovering over the city. It's fantastic stuff. The architecture.
Yeah, it looks very cool. I'm looking up pictures right now, and it just seems like a great atmosphere and a great place to gain more knowledge.
This is actually a fun fact. You know the Chicago flag? You know, like the blue, white with the three red stars?
Yep.
You know they added the third star after... This World Fair?
I did not.
I don't know what that could mean, but...
Are you looking at the 1893 Chicago World Fair?
No, I was in 1934. Do you have an 1893?
Yeah, I'm looking up a World Fair history and something from
World's Columbian Exposition. Now this one, holy cow, is this with like almost Roman architecture with a giant pond in front of them?
Yeah.
Yes, the Republic statue. They don't even have that anymore, do they? In Chicago.
No, they don't. I haven't seen it when I went there.
But yeah, lots of fun stuff going on at these Chicago World Fairs. Ryan, I think we've covered almost about everything we had planned for this. There's just so many conspiracies, if you will, out there. It's almost impossible to cover them all.
Yeah, we could have gone on for hours and hours and hours, but that might be for a later episode. Who knows? We don't want to keep you guys listening for way too long now.
No, I'd say that maybe if we were to, we can do this again. Maybe we focus on one. What if we did like an copious amount of research on one single, so like JFK, moon landing, pyramid, some famous ones or something like that.
Yeah, I agree. Maybe something that affects most people so that they can maybe reverse that effect, or maybe like the stuff that's getting added into our foods or something, like all the seed oils or all the unnecessary ingredients or all the red dyes. I mean, cancer causing red dyes are everywhere.
I also say when you start eating healthier, you also start to have a clear mind on things, I'd say.
For sure. The brain fog is gone. The energy is up. The acne is going away. The sugar cravings are gone. It's just you have to grind out the first week or two, and then you're going to be just fine.
It's true. I think I might have to plan out a cheat day. I'm missing my cookies. I routinely used to bake cookies every week, and oh, it's been over a month without them.
Might be a good night to do it with Kill Tony on.
No, it's too cold. It's too cold here in Minnesota. It's negative out.
That is true. It is like negative 10 right now. My car battery died in a matter of 12 hours, so I am not excited to deal with that.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. But you know what? Ryan, if you could give a message of hope to people, you know, we talked about a lot of negative things, but there's still a lot of good and positivity in the world. What is something you would tell the people?
Yeah, one thing I want to say is it all depends on us civilians or citizens, if you will, to make the change for everybody else and make it better for everybody else. No politician is going to do it. No celebrity is going to do it. No athlete is going to do it. They're all just going to fall in the line of making the millions and millions of dollars. So if you really want good and change to come into this world, be that good and change to come into this world, and then it'll go to different people and influence different people and other people.
That was fantastic, Ryan. Thank you very much, and thank you for joining us. This was a pleasure. This was a great time, and we'll definitely do this again. This was a lot of fun. Absolutely. Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you all for listening, and do I even have to say it? I'll catch you next time on the Surprise Jab Podcast.